Tracy Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate. Kia ora and welcome to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, social justice, different cultures or interfaith. Today, my visitor is Jules Getty. Jules, a warm welcome and
hi
to my radio program.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Jules Getty is originally from Johannesburg in South Africa. He's a teacher and an active member of the Orthodox Synagogue in Auckland. Jules has been to Muffin Talk a few weeks ago, and he then took the challenge of explaining Judaism in 20 minutes. This was quite extraordinary. Today, we would like to talk about another extraordinary phenomenon, the phenomenon of miracles. Many religions have a space for miracles. Jules, you are a practicing Jew. How do you describe a miracle from your faith perspective?
Beate, thanks. Nice to be here. Hello to everybody. I can't describe a miracle from a Jewish perspective because miracles, I think, apply to all religions. And the same definition holds true, especially for the three monotheistic religions. So a general definition of a miracle. A miracle is any extraordinary and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific law and is therefore attributed to the divine.
So it's always positive, that's right?
It's always positive. You can't have a war as a miracle because it's not for your benefit. It's not positive. But this definition applies to Judaism, it applies to Christianity, it applies to Islam. And we'll see later on signs that show that this definition fits all three. But furthermore, religions are based on miracles. Without miracles, the religions wouldn't spread. Religions, they rely on the fact that we do have miracles for this definition, attributed to the divine.
Because it's beyond the human mind, is it?
Correct. It's beyond natural law. So natural law we usually think of as things of nature, but it's not. Natural law is defined as a body of unchanging moral principles regarded as a basis for all human conduct. So if there's something that goes against that, we say it's a miracle. So, I always have to start with a little bit of laughter, otherwise it can't concentrate properly. So here's the story about a miracle. In the doctor's waiting room, there are a few people, one of whom is an older lady, and she's bent over, she's stooped, and she's sitting there on the chair, and after a little while, the nurse opens the door, walks in, and says, "Mrs. Smith," that's who it is, "you next." So she climbs off the chair, and she's got a walking stick, and she holds on to the walking stick, and she's bent over. If you can just imagine that her head and her body are kind of almost parallel to the ground, and she hobbles into the doctor's room, and 10 minutes later she walks out and she's perfectly straight, her head is upright, she's walking nicely, and one of the other people in the waiting room says, "Whoa, it's a miracle, it's a miracle. You walked in there, you were stooped, you were bent, you couldn't walk, and now 10 minutes later you walk out perfectly straight." And Mrs. Smith looks in and says, she says, "Miracle, shmiracle, he gave me a longer walking stick." There's got a few elements of miracles. When we talk about miracles, we do need to talk about then and now.
Yeah.
And the then is what I said earlier on, religion-based. Let's talk about a miracle now. And there are many of them. You just have to look for them. I want to just talk about the computer age and a little thing called a flash drive. You know, mm-hmm. A flash drive is just one of those little things that you plug into your computer.
A USB stick, some people call it.
USB, yeah. So now a flash drive has this capacity, and I'll... I'll try and give you the capacity like this. We used to talk about megabytes.
Yeah.
And then we spoke about gigabytes and now terabytes. Now, byte is one impression, like if you tap a key on the keyboard, that's a byte. A gigabyte has got one followed by 9 noughts of bytes. A terabyte has got 12 noughts. Now, to understand what 1 and 12 noughts means, if you divide that by 60 seconds, then you get to minutes. Divide that by 60, you get to hours. Divide that by 24, you get to days. Divide that by 365, then one little stick, a flash drive, a terabyte, is 32,000 years. Isn't that a miracle?
Yeah.
How can this little thing,
one little stick.
One little stick. How can it get 32,000 years of seconds, bytes, onto this one little stick? And not only that, you can transfer information from the computer onto this one little stick in a minute or two.
And if you can also think of the old computers in the 1940s that filled a room, and now a little tiny device that you can put in your hand has more capacity than that whole room.
And goes 100 times faster. Now, isn't that a miracle? So, when we talk about miracles, we also use the word wondrous.
Yeah.
Right. And if you go out into the garden and you just look at the trees and the flowers, that's wondrous.
See, in German, a miracle means Wunder.
Wunder.
Yeah,
is that the word for miracle?
Yes, the word for...
Wunderbar.
Yeah, wunderbar is wonderful.
Wonderful.
Yeah, wunderbar.
So let's go back to the religion. The religion is the creation. The creation was a miracle. We say the creation in 6 days. Well, it's not possible 6 days. But forget about the 6 days. Let's talk about the actual creation. The creation of all the elements of our universe. You know, the creation is not just planet Earth. It's the whole universe. Now, if you look at the universe, well, see, the problem is this, that the Bible says 70 years. That's the lifespan. And now, because of the miracle of modern science, it's now gone up to 80 and 85 and 90. And my son says that in the next generation is going to go to 105. So, isn't that a miracle? That's a miracle. So, the creation... is, in my eyes, an absolute miracle how we actually are here and how we as human beings are here. And bear in mind, I'm a numbers man, a teacher and an accountant, so the human body is made up of 78 trillion cells. Trillion, I think, is 1 and 9 noughts. I mean, that's just... a phenomenal number. And the question is, most of the cells are water. How come we're still standing? How come we don't just collapse and float down the gutter?
But there's one point what you just said about the distance, because when you see the state before and then you see what happened in the end, so might not be the end, but a certain state, then you don't know what happened in between. And I think that's where the scientists say, well, we can't take the whole mountain. We'll just take step by step and we'll find out how it got to that point.
Exactly. We don't know. And so the scientists say, well, let's go step by step until they find out what it is. So maybe miracles are events that take place that we don't understand. But when the scientists find a way to explain the miracle, and it's no longer a miracle. It's wonderful, it's wondrous, but it's no longer a miracle. And there's a very fine line between those. Even when they do find the way, I say it's still a miracle. Like, for instance, Einstein said or invented this equation, E equals MC squared. Now, E stands for energy, M for mass, and C is the speed of light. And he says, the speed of light squared. Now, that's unimaginable. Light travels at 300,000 kilometers a second. How can you have that squared? And that's not by experimentation that he got to this formula. It's in his head that he worked out this formula.
And that's a miracle.
That's a miracle. Beyond any doubt, that's a miracle. And that formula has stood the test of time. It's used for astronauts. It's used for so many things.
And that's why Einstein is considered a genius, because he is extraordinary with what he could put make up in his mind, and it was proven to be right.
And it was proven to be right. So that's a miracle. It defies all natural laws, everything. And then, would you believe that Einstein was not a believer in the Bibles? He said it's a history and there's a lot of myth. But then we go to the other great scientist, Isaac Newton, and he was a devout Catholic, and he was a total believer. And you know what? He said that the cosmos, the world, the universe, has been created in such perfect order that it could only have been created by God.
Isaac Newton, he was also a philosopher and a mathematician and a scientist. He had this connection, and I think that's something that is sometimes missing with scientists today, that some scientists try to separate philosophy, belief, and science, and yet it fits all very well together.
It does. It fits. So yeah, two of the greatest scientists, I think, that the world has ever known, and they've both discovered such miraculous stuff, and they have opposing views. But in the end, before, you know, when Einstein got a bit older, he said, maybe there is, maybe.
Maybe.
So let us go now to a subject. I'll just call it simply hunger.
Let me just say, so that in just in case somebody has just tuned in and was wondering what radio program is on, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/Muffin Talk or visit our website or Facebook page at Tengaka Waiora Mercy Spirituality Center. My visitor today is Jules Geddy, and we are talking about miracles. And we've just explained a little bit about what a miracle is, but I think that this definition is not finished yet, because definition means, per definition, that it has an end. But miracle, where do you put the end?
Ah, yeah, that's right. Miracles, there's no end. However, there is an end if you follow the principle of looking for the miracle. Then you'll find an end to the definition. You won't find an end to the looking. There's no end.
But isn't it interesting that you have, as children, see more miracles because there are more things that they can't understand? Then as we grow older, we think that there are less miracles. And then when we get older again, we see again many things as miracles. Isn't it like this?
Well, yeah, but why do children see more?
Maybe they can't explain certain things. They see it with different eyes.
Maybe they're more positive. Maybe when they look at a miracle, they say, yes, that is a miracle.
Maybe.
Maybe when you get older and you're so conditioned, then you look at a miracle and you say, oh, I haven't got time for that. Or it's not possible. Or who cares? True.
Yes.
Let's go out in the garden and look at the tree and say, this is a miracle. Now, you're right. Children and probably older people, they got time. They haven't got so many distractions. Let us come now to the subject of worldwide subject, hunger. And we'll start with hunger and Jesus, the miracle of feeding the people. Remember that miracle?
Yes, with the loaves and the fish.
With the loaves and the fish. And so the miracle went something like this, is very interesting. He was teaching the people. It was at Capernaum? Was that the place? I think so. No. It was in the Galilee, the northeastern shore of the Galilee, not Capernaum. And when he was teaching, the disciples came to him and said, you know, the people are hungry. So he said, well, send them to the village to buy food. And one of the disciples said, I don't think that will work. So they said, well, then you get the food. So the disciples said, well, to get food for all these people, would be 8 months of a man's wages. So then he said, I have faith, let us pray. He said, what have you got? And they said, well, we've got 2 fish and 5 loaves. And he took them and he said, let us give thanks. So he's giving thanks, which is foundational in all religions. You say grace before meals, we say grace after meals, but giving thanks is foundational. Gratitude, foundational. So he gives thanks, and then the people sit in groups, and then he starts breaking the bread and the fish, and it just keeps breaking. And as he dishes it out, there's enough food to feed 5,000 people.
Yep.
Now, 5,000 people, I mean, that's a miracle, right?
Yep.
How can 5 loaves and 2 fish feed 5,000?
And then when they collected what was left over, there was more in the end than they had in the beginning.
Yes. Now, that certainly defies natural law. Definitely. And there are all kinds of attempted explanations. But I think it's just feasible to accept it as a miracle. Now let's come to now. At that time when Jesus lived, there were about 300 million people on the planet. Now we have 7.5 billion. The estimate is there's about 800 million people who haven't got enough food. That's a tragedy. That is terrible. But on the other side, there's nearly 7 billion people who have got food. That is a miracle. How can this little planet feed and sustain 7 billion people? That's a miracle. In the time when there were 300 million, and we talk about 5,000, that's a very small number compared to where we're at today. And that's in 2,000 years. That's a miracle. The next miracle involves communication. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I are sitting here, we're looking at each other. I hope the listeners are listening. And we're communicating.
Yes.
And we're understanding each other. But it started soon after the flood. After the flood, the people said, well, you know, in case this happens again, let us build a tower which reaches clear up into the sky, the Tower of Babel. And Hashem looked at them and said, woo, what are they doing? Can't have this, that they encroach on our territory. Yeah?
Just to explain for the Christians who might not know who Hashem is. Hashem is God. Because we say God, and you explain with Hashem.
Yes, if we're praying, we use the Hebrew for God. When we're not praying, then we simply say the name. Hashem means the name. So when we're not praying, I will refer to the divine as Hashem. So
they built the tower and wanted to reach closer and closer and closer to Hashem.
Correct.
To God.
To God.
Yeah.
To Hashem. So here's the story. You know, the Sherlock Holmes and his assistant, Dr. Watson, I think. They were out on the weekend, just a relaxing weekend, and they went to sleep in a tent. And during the night, Holmes wakes up and he nudges Watson and he says, Watson, look up in the sky. What do you see? He says, wow, I see miracles. There are millions and billions of stars. And some of them are in clusters in such a good formation, and we give them names. And Holmes pokes him in the ribs and he says, don't be an idiot. Somebody has stolen our tent. So, they're using the same words, but the understanding was totally different. And so we have the Tower of Babel, which then gave us different languages. And isn't that a marvelous thing? I'm not sure that I'd call it a miracle, but it's wondrous that we have so many different languages throughout the earth, and people found a way to communicate with each other. We now have the computer, which is a modern-day miracle. And the computer language, I think one of these days, is going to overtake all the other languages.
Well, we'll see.
You're shaking your head.
I'm not so convinced about that.
But it's going at a rapid speed. There's
but it could be like a kind of interpreter.
An interpreter? Yes. Like you pick up your phone and you say, hi, Siri, get me Beati on the phone. The phone understands and dials your number.
Well, that happens. Yes, that's right.
Correct. So that's communication, and it's changing. For me, the way it's changing is a miracle. Not the fact that it is changing, but the way it's changing. So now we get to Capernaum. And that deals with healing.
Yes.
Capernaum is the city where Jesus and the disciples were when there was healing. Do you remember the story of the healing?
Oh, there are many stories of the healing.
Well, the one where there was a paralyzed man.
Yeah.
So they came to this town, and there were many people in one of the houses, and some people came carrying a paralyzed man on a bed or on a mat, and they couldn't get through to the front door because there were too many people there, so they went through the roof.
They took a part of the roof.
Yes, and they lowered the paralyzed man in the presence of Jesus. And what did Jesus say? He saw the faith of the people. So that's number one, the faith. And then he said, and this is, it's beautiful and it's miraculous. He said, friend, your sins are forgiven. They didn't give him antibiotics or a new hip. He said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Which, of course, led to a lot of controversy because only Hashem can forgive. How can this man among men forgive? And then he says to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. So after he says your sins are forgiven, he says, get up, take your mat and go home, which he does.
It's like an order.
Yeah. Like it's done.
Yeah.
The miracle is done. Now, he didn't say it's a miracle. Jesus never said it's a miracle, but the friends, the witnesses who saw it, they said, well, that is a miracle. And miracles come from Hashem, from the divine. Good story that. I've been to Capernaum, and I'll tell you something. I went to the synagogue in Capernaum, and don't forget when Jesus walked in the Galilee, and he walked on the water, and he quietened the storm on the Sea of Galilee. That's the place. And now I find myself some years ago in Capernaum, and I go to the synagogue which he went to, and I had this overwhelming sense of miraculousness that I'm there, and I'm standing in the same place where Jesus stood and in the same synagogue where he stood. It was a most wonderful experience. And then we took a boat ride across the lake, and I had the same feeling.
But the other thing with this story is this man did not ask Jesus, heal me. He did not ask God, heal me. It's not part of the story, at least. The miracle happened because he believed that he could be saved or he could be healed, but he didn't pronounce the words. He did not pray for it. He came and he saw this as a chance to meet with Jesus and was hoping me. We assume, but there are no words. It's not like sometimes we pray, please help me and help him.
And you're 100% right. There's no words which say that the paralyzed man says to Jesus. Nothing. Yes. Nor the people who brought him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Jesus who says, your sins are forgiven. He immediately sees what's going on. He says, your sins are forgiven. And he says, get up and go. You know, like for the Lord Jesus, it was just a natural thing. I don't think he regarded it as a miracle. The witnesses said this is a miracle. Let us come. I think we're a bit short of time.
I think that we have to finish our first session today.
We'll do another one.
We can continue next week.
Yes.
And so I'll just tell our listeners what is coming up in our Mercy Spirituality Center. So on Thursday, the 15th of November, from 7 to 9 p.m., Marta Cullen will come and connect us with some dances. Come and join us as we are connecting us with each other and connecting us to God. All welcome. And Marta Cullen also does a circle. It's a circle dancing, which is a tradition in many, many cultures. And it is Marta Cullen will choose easy songs, and some will be possibly Psalms, where we're going to dance on. And so anybody is welcome. On Tuesday, the 27th of November, from 7 to 9 p.m., we'll have Sister Helen Bergen with us, and she will start her first reflection with the title, Encountering the Holy Spirit in Advent. The other two sessions will be on the 4th and the 11th of December. In December, Sister Christina Castro will come to our center and facilitate three morning retreats with the title, Who Are You, O God, and Who Am I? The sessions are on the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th of December from 10 o'clock in the morning to 1 o'clock. Looking forward to into the next year. Our program booklets 2019 are ready to be sent out. Our theme for next year will be the theme of gratitude. Please let us know if you would like to receive a booklet or if you haven't received one, and come. You can also come to our center and pick one up. And for all our events at our center, please register with us per phone at Auckland 09-638-6238 or through our website at www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. And next week, I'll continue the conversation with Jules Geddy on miracles, and miracles with stories from the Bible also. So today we heard about some stories from Jesus, but we'll have more stories in next week, on next Friday. Okay, thank you, Jules.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me.